today is found in the book of Judges, the 4th and the 5th chapter. We began speaking to you about this book of Judges last week, and we spoke to you about how many years that the history that is in this book is composed of, and how that God raised up these judges so that they would be as saviors unto the people of Israel. Now, these people of Israel, they had made a covenant with God and with Joshua that they would serve the Lord and that he would be their God. And this they obeyed all the while that Joshua lived, and even all the while that the elders that outlived Joshua lived. Now, these people, they adhered to this covenant that they had made. But after this, there arose a generation that knew not the Lord and knew nothing of the wonders that he had done. And this generation, they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, and they served Balaam. They served then the idol gods that the nations in whom they were dwelling served. For they did not drive out all these Canaanites that were in the land. Each tribe, as you will notice, drove out some of them, but not all of them. And because they did not do this, God said that they would be as thorns and as goads in their sides. And we find that this generation, they departed from God. They forsook him, and they served Balaam and Ashtaroth, meaning thereby the sun and the moon. This title, Baal, was first given to the true God, and all those that adhered to the true religion called God Baal. But when the nation started to degenerate and turn away from God, they started to add another name to it. As you find in Scripture, Baal-Berith, Baal-Zebub, Baal-Peor, all these nations, they had their idol gods. And now Israel was dwelling amongst these Canaanites, and they soon followed what these people did. They started to serve their gods. They started to marry with their children, and God had forbid them to do this. They were to be a separate people. They were to keep away from all these heathen nations, but still there they began to mingle with them, and they became even worse than them. Because these people, they knew not better, but Israel did. Israel had a knowledge of the true God, and they degenerated them even worse than the heathens. In this, my hearers, it isn't anything strange that people who, like the Israelites, also turned away from God. I would bring this before you for the simple reason that in this we see that the parents that did not remind the children about the God of Israel and the wonders that he had done. They had been cautioned, they had been also told by those that ruled them that they should teach their children these things, and that this God who had delivered them out of the land of Egypt was the true God. And they wanted that their children likewise would serve this God and love him. But they departed from him. This, my hearers, is the case with many in the days in which we live. The more that we depart from God, the less knowledge there is of the wonders that God has done. The less that we hold before what God is and what wonders he has done in the days of old, truly the more that our children will become like heathens. I'm thankful that we as a congregation, we have a Bible class. And as much as we are able to, we try to instruct our children and hold before them who this God is. It's a blessing that we have this, believe me, my hearers. But we find even with what that our children are being taught as they grow up, and they mingle with other children, they soon do the things as other people do. Israel of old, they served idol gods. They fell into the sin of idolatry. And our children too, as they grow older, they mingle with children that have this and then have that. Why can't we have these things they come to the parents with? And if the parents are strong in faith, they'll abide by telling their children that we're not to have these things. But in many cases, my hearers, the children overrule the parents. Instead of the parents ruling the children, parents give way. And in this way, religion deteriorates, even amongst the youth. And what are these young people waiting for? They're waiting for the time that they can be free, that they can get from under this yoke that their parents seem to have upon them. Although it's for their good and for their eternal welfare, they realize it not. And if possible, they will depart completely from the truth. They will also marry with others of different sorts of faiths. And many times it happens that we see them no more. I have it in my own case, in my own family. I know what I'm talking about. It's true. And now, my hearers, it was amongst Israel of old, and God brought upon them his judgments, his punishments. And when they were brought low for their iniquity, then God cried, the children of Israel cried to God, and God was so good, my hearers, as to hear their cry and to answer them. He is a God of mercy, a God of pity, that we can't understand this God in heaven above. And now we find that the children of Israel were serving Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the first king that God gave the victory over Israel was a king from Mesopotamia. And he overpowered the Israelites, and they were under the dominion of this king for 8 years. But when they cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer in the person of Othniel. He first judged Israel. By this, he first brought them to reformation. He pointed out to them their sins and their iniquities and told them to turn back to God and worship him. This is the correct way. Then we may have God on our side. Not to go on in our sins and to serve the idols and then fight. No, a reformation took place. And then God was with this man. And he gave them the victory over this king of Mesopotamia, and the land had rest. But as soon as this judge died, they fell again into the same sin. Again they were oppressed by their enemies, and then God raised up another judge by the name of Ehud. And this man, he likewise caused a reformation to take place. And he, as you know, he killed the king of Moab. He went to him with a present, and he gave him the present and then returned back to him and said he had a message of God unto this king. And he took a sword from his right thigh and he killed this king. He fled, he blew a trumpet, and he gathered an army behind him, and they overcame the Moabites. And the land had rest 80 years. Now these people then, and they were continually subject to the judge. And as long as they had a judge, it went good with them. But just as soon as the judge died, away they went into idolatry. Away they went into sin and iniquity. And now we find in this chapter, which our lesson is in, that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And God delivered them into the hand of the king of the Canaanites, by the name of Jabin, who lived in Harosheth. And this man, he was then king over the Canaanites, and he had a captain whose name was Sisera. He had an army, and he had 900 iron chariots, and he mightily oppressed Israel for 20 years. And these people again, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. 80 years they had had peace, they had prosperity, but when Ehud died, there they went again. They departed from God. Now this happens likewise even to this day, and probably it has happened to some that are listening to me. There has been a time in your life that it went good with you. It may have been that you were blessed. Providentially, you had everything you wanted. And maybe spiritually too. You were enjoying some of the smiles of God at times. But prosperity and worldliness got the best of you. And slowly you started to depart from God. Your conscience upbraided you, but you went over the top of it. You were warned inwardly by the voice of God, but the flesh, the world, sin, the devil, they had the upper hand over you. And you went over the top of it all. The Israelites, they did evil in the sight of the Lord. So did you. You left God. You forsook him. But God had his eye on you. He had his eye on the Israelites too. He would not leave or forsake these people because he had a covenant with them. And what a mercy, my hearers, when God don't leave us go. He didn't let the Israelites go. He brought this King Jabin upon them, and he mightily oppressed them. And now it may be that while you were going on in this way, God came with trouble. He might have afflicted you personally, maybe your wife, maybe one of your children. Providentially, you were brought into trouble. Spiritually, you were practically lifeless to your own estimation. Everything was gone. The world had the upper hand. But now, who were you going to turn to in your trouble? Your friends forsook you. You had nobody to go to. And then when this happens, then it is that we cry to God. We always come last to God. When all other helpers fail us, then we begin to cry to God. It may have been that you were in this trouble and you began to think, well, he won't hear me. He won't listen to me. I've sinned so much against him. And I went so far away from him, he'll never have anything to do with me. But this good God, he's ever kind, he's ever merciful, my hearers. He heard your cry. He brought you up out of your trouble, he delivered you. How wonderful is this God, my hearers. And so he was for the children of Israel. And these people, they cried unto the Lord. And the Lord had sold them into the hand of this king. But now he delivered them out of the hand into which he sold them. And this Sisera, he had 900 chariots of iron. Attached to these chariots of iron, to the axles thereof, there were scythes. You know what a scythe is. You cut the grass with it. You see sometimes farmers, they have a big scythe. And they cut grass. Well, in olden times, they attached to the wheels of these chariots scythes. And when they went to fight with these 900 chariots and the scythes on each side of the chariots, why, they made a terrible destruction, going into an army of footmen. They cut them down just like they cut grass. And this Sisera, he had 900 chariots like this. And he mightily oppressed the Israelites. They were under the dominion of these people. They dared not raise up against them. But we find at this time God raised up a judge. And what was it? It was a woman, mind you. The first woman that God ever gave to rule the children of Israel. Her name was Deborah. And she dwelt under the palm tree called Deborah. And there Israel came up for judgment to her. And this woman was gifted with a prophetic spirit. She was given wisdom from on high and was inspired by the Spirit of God. She did not make any judgment between controversies between man and man, but she judged the people of Israel spiritually. As she began to reform the people, she began to tell them what was amiss. She got some of the magistrates on her side, and they likewise went along with her. And she turned many of the Israelites back to God. Josephus says that Israel came up to this woman to ask her to pray for them because they were being so oppressed by the Canaanites. She was then someone that had familiar intercourse with God. And therefore, this woman was gifted by God to set some man over an army to go out and fight against Sisera. And this man's name was Barak, the son of Abinoam. He had already shown some signs of being a captain. He had gathered some men together and he had tried to oppress these oppressors rising up against them, but to no success. But now this woman, as she called him and said unto him, hath not God said to gather an army together of 10,000 men and go up to Mount Tabor, and I will bring unto you Sisera, the captain of Jabin's host, and I will deliver him into thine hand. She put this to this man as if she said, now listen, hasn't God given you a spiritual impulse inside too to do this? This isn't just for me alone, but haven't you got something inside telling you that you should do this? She told him then that he was to be the captain and that he was to gather 10,000 men. She even told him just how many men he should get. And he should get them out of the tribes of Naphtali and of Zebulun, two tribes. But in the fifth chapter in the song, we find that Deborah makes mention that there were some from Manasseh and some from Issachar, who also had come up with Barak. And now she told him that he should get this army together and that God would bring this man Sisera and his army unto Mount Tabor. And God would deliver him into his hand. And this was for the strengthening of this man's faith and for his encouragement to go forth, to be the warrior in God's name. Now you would think that this man was ready to go right away. But no, even after hearing this from this woman, who he believed was God's mouth to him, he said unto her, he says, I will go if you go with me. But if you don't go, I don't go either. Now, not that he didn't believe that she was speaking the truth or that she wasn't God's voice to him, but in this, he just as much as thought and said, now, if you go with me, then God is with me. Because he believed that she was a woman that had connection with God, and that her prayers and her advice would be very helpful to himself, and also would be very encouraging to the soldiers that he would have. Therefore, it was just as good as if he said, if you go, then God is with me. But if you don't go, I ain't going to go either. Well, she says, I will go. But she says, the journey that you're going to take, it won't be for your honor, she says, because God is going to deliver this Sisera into the hands of a woman. He's going to sell her into the hand of a woman. Now, there was a certain family of the Hebrews married to a jailer, and they were of the father-in-law of Moses. And they lived in the southern part of Canaan by the Kenites. And they moved from this place to the northern part of Canaan and dwelt near Kedesh. This was in the providence of God, so that this woman was to live there. She was going to be the instrument in God's hand to take this Sisera and kill him. And now we find that Deborah, she goes up with this man, Barak, and he comes to Kedesh and he blows a trumpet, and he has 10,000 men from the tribes of Naphtali and from Zebulun that came up to him. 10,000 footmen. And Deborah with him. And he went up on the top of this mountain, Mount Tabor. A good place to be if you're going to fight on a mountain. But now, somebody must have told this Sisera that Barak had gathered this army together. They claim it was the Kenites. And when he heard that Barak had this army, he immediately gathered his army together. An immense multitude of men and 900 chariots of iron, and he came up to the river Kishon to Mount Tabor, the fulfilling of the word that Deborah had said unto Barak. I, the God of heaven and earth, will bring this man to you. She hadn't told him a lie. She was telling him the truth by the prophetic spirit that she had. And now when they were on the top of this mountain, this man, Sisera, he had this great army. And he was trying to surround this mountain. And when Barak seen all the men that he had and the 900 chariots of iron, Josephus says that he said, I'm going to flee. I'm going to seek a place of safety because I'm not safe here. In other words, he got yellow. He wanted to go away. He wanted to fly away if he could. But this woman, and good for him that he had her with him, she says, this is the day that the Lord hath delivered Sisera and his host into your hands. She says to him, make a descent, go down with your army, and God will give him into your hands. Imagine, he had to have the encouragement of this woman. You know, they say, the man is the head. But here now, the woman was the head. God had placed upon this woman more faith, and he had given her more of his spirit than he had given unto Barak. For he did not have that faith to go down that mountain to meet that army. But when she said this, then he went down according to her word, trusting in the divine power of God. Now, she said to him that God would give unto him this army. And Josephus says that when Sisera and his army came up towards this mountain, God sent a terrific tempest, an awful storm of hail. And this hail beat into the faces of Sisera and his army. You read of the river Kishon. It's not a river, it's only a brook. But by this tempest and by this storm, This river immediately, this brook rather, immediately became a torrent. And according to Josephus, it carried the greatest part of the army of Sisera away. They were drowned by this torrent of water that came from the storm that God had sent. God then fought for Barak. And Barak came down and he began to slaughter these people that were with Sisera. They fell on the right and on the left. They fell before the edge of his sword. And when Sisera seen that the battle was against him and that he probably also would be killed, he lighted off his chariot. And this was his confidence, these chariots. But now he had to flee from his own chariot. And he fled to this place where these people, Heber and his wife, had put their tent. And now this woman, Jael, she was in the tent door. And she was looking out, in all probability, to see if there were any Israelites that were in distress. And if they need any help, she would have gladly helped them. But here came this Sisera, running like mad, all out of breath, fleeing from this army. And when she seen him coming, she called to him and she says, "Come into my tent," she says, "come in." She invited him in. And he went into the tent. He probably chose this tent, for he thought this would be better than going into a tent where there was a man. Being this was a woman's tent. Probably she had her tent separated from her husband. And this would be the most unlikely place that Barak would look to. So he entered in, and she covered him up with a mantle. And he said he was very thirsty. Wouldn't she give him a drink of water? But she opened the bottle of milk, and she gave him a drink of milk. And he, you may be sure, quenched his thirst thereby. And then she covered him up. And she then treated him just as if he was a friend. She treated him in a very good manner. But this milk that she gave him, and him being so tired, immediately brought upon him a deep sleep. He fell fast asleep. Now, this woman, she had, to all intentions, no intention of killing him. She thought, in all probabilities, "I have him here in the tent, and now when Barak comes with his men, while he'll be their prisoner." But when he fell asleep, then it seems that she was inspired by God himself as a just judge to take a nail from the tent and take a hammer. And she went to him softly and she took this nail and she crushed it right through his temples into the ground. And then to make a good job of it, you read this in the next chapter, she took a knife and she cut his head off. This is the way that Sisera, who depended upon his chariots of iron, was killed with an iron nail by a woman. God uses sometimes the weak things to show the strong that he needs not them. This woman then was used by God to kill this king, or kill this here captain, Sisera. And now we find that Barak, he was in hot pursuit after him. And when he came, she went out to the tent and she invited him in. She says, "Come in," she says, "and I will show you the man whom ye seek." And when he came into this tent, just imagine the surprise that he must have had. when he seen this Sisera laying with his head cut off and his head nailed to the ground, this is the way he found him. He then could not glory in catching this Sisera and killing him. But God had given this woman this thing to do. Now you may say, well, did she murder this man? No. This was an act, and it was at war. And God inspired this woman to do this. The same way with Ehud. He took a dagger and he killed the king of Moab. He was inspired by God himself to do this so that they would have the victory. So here, this woman was used by God for this respect. And now we find that they pursued this army of Sisera to the place where the general even had his headquarters. And they slew every one of them. And in this way, they triumphed over the Canaanites. God gave them a complete victory. And then we find in the next chapter that Deborah and Barak, they are inspired by God to sing a song. And this was the song that they sang, the chapter begins with, a song of praise, of adoration to God for the victory that he had given unto them. As God had went before them and delivered their enemies into their hands and had set them in liberty from the oppression that they had been under for 20 years. Oh, you may be sure their hearts were tuned by the Spirit of God to sing praise unto him. What a mercy, my hearers, if we likewise in this life have been also in much trouble, in much oppression, be it providentially, be it spiritually. It pleases God sometimes, just like he let spoilers spoil the Israelites, so many of God's dear children are spoiled by spoilers inside. By that I mean that the enemies inside get the overhand. And when this takes place, my hearers, the souls of God's people are in a sad condition, in a sad state. They are in darkness. They have no communion with God. Sin has the upper hand over them, and they're being spoiled right and left. And this may go on for a long time. But then it pleases God to deliver his people from their oppressors, from these spoilers. And all, it doesn't take much for God to do this, my hearers. Sometimes just one word, and the soul is brought out of captivity. It's brought out of its oppression. It's brought out of its misery. And when this takes place, I don't know if you ever had it, but then you are given a song of praise. You're given to sing praise to God. You ever had that? Oh, I can never forget one day I was given to sing, give thanks to God, for good is he. His grace abideth ever. I was singing this as I was walking through the factory. What a mercy it is to be brought to praise God. Most of the time, we're seeking God. We're asking God for his help and for his guidance. How seldom do we have a little time that we praise him. Oh, it's such a blessing to be able to praise God. Have you ever done that? Ever been brought out of trouble? God ever heard you cry? Oh, I'm sure then. Then your heart was tuned to praise him, to love him, to fear him. And probably you made even resolutions to do so. Oh, what a mercy if in this life we know of being oppressed and being given to praise God. The Lord bless the feeble instruction out of this lesson this day to our immortal souls. That's all. Our time is gone.